Next up, we have Ling Oh, who will talk about fungicide distribution in golf course turf.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for coming to my presentation. My name is Ling Oh. I go by Lodi. I work with Dr. Rick Latin in Purdue University, and we are in the Department of Botany and Plant Pathology. Today, I'm going to talk to you about fungicide distribution in golf course turf. I anticipate probably there are some pathologists in this room, there's some turf scientists, probably soil scientists, and also some people come here to support me. So thank you all for coming. So greens like this are really nice. However, you occasionally see those that now are unofficially the dollar spot club, since now I also have a picture showing just like everyone else. So on the left hand, you see a dollar spot in the creeping bent grass, and on your right hand side, on the top, you see the large patch in Zoja grass, and on the bottom, you see the spring dead spot in the Bermuda grass. So when you see those, we will have management practice, just like the previous speaker talked about. And there are lots of management practices, such as the proper irrigation, the fertilization. However, fungicide option is still necessary, just like his data showed. So for fungicides, it's actually very challenging in terms of the root disease control, since the root disease, the pathogen, is down in the thatch or is lower in the rhizosphere. So superintendents and other practitioners, they using irrigation or wetting agent to try to facilitate the downward movement of fungicide. According to most anecdotal knowledge, there's very limited research on that to really back up that claim showing how irrigation and wetting agent would facilitate the downward movement. And here the figure shows the irrigation after wetting agent applied, and on the right hand side shows the ionic and non-ionic wetting agent. So here comes our objective, is to investigate the influence of wetting agent and post-application irrigation on the distribution for modern fungicides in a sand-based creeping bent grass potting green, and our distribution including both temporal and spatial. Here's the overall procedure for our experiment. So first, we applied wetting agent and irrigate immediately, and we also collect samples for the baseline at the minus one BAT, which is a days after treatment, so it's one day before the fungicide application. And at zero BAT, we apply the fungicide, and we also irrigate immediately at 0.8 centimeters. And then from day zero to day 28, we collect samples periodically at day 0, 3, 7, 10, 14, 21, and 28. After that, we did fungicide extraction, and then residual analysis and data analysis. And for all those procedures, I'm going to go into more details in a minute. So this slide shows the fungicide and the wetting agent properties. The setup for this table is the first column shows the four fungicides we used, azoxystrobin and fluoxetine peroxide, propiconazole and pyroclostrobin. And then the product name on the second column, and third column shows the application rate in both metric and the American unit. And the fourth column shows water solubility, and as you can see, those fungicides has relatively low water solubility, and the KLC shows a relatively high soil organic carbon absorption coefficient. The wetting agent revolution was applied at the labeled rate, and we also followed the irrigation at the labeled irrigation recommendation. And we had like four treatments set up. As you can see, we had fungicides for all those treatments, and then we had irrigation for the treatment too, and then the third treatment is the wetting agent, and the last treatment is a combination of irrigation and wetting agent. So here some pictures show our experiment. The first picture shows we apply wetting agent and then irrigate. Those dark green spots you see are the plots that are being applied wetting agent. And then on this picture shows the spraying fungicide. This is by our outstanding master student from Purdue University. And he's going to be available early next year, so people will fight for him. The third picture shows we apply irrigation after the fungicide application. The poster is available too, just so you know. This picture shows more lab procedure of our experiment. So on the first picture, we showed our sampling procedure. We use soil probe to sample the turf and the soil profile, and then we cut on site to three components: the virgin zedge component, the 2 to 5 centimeters, and 5 to 8 centimeters. And we place them in the centrifuge tubes immediately, and then put them in a cooler filled with dry ice. The superintendents or the turf managers always thought we were having a picnic when we were sampling out there. And the middle picture shows the extraction. So what you see on the picture is the Procellus. I don't know if any of the lab use it, but it's really fast. It's 40 seconds. It will grind the sample for us, the virgin zedge component. I'm not advertising for them, but it's really convenient for us. And after you homogenizing the virgin zedge, then you're using acetonitrile, and also you're using like sodium acetate, magnesium sulfate to extract the fungicide. Afterwards, we did residual analysis using LCMS, the liquid chromatography. So we used the triple quad mass spec, as shown on this picture from Agilent. So this is the exciting part, shows our results. And I know this is a lot of data here, so I'm going to walk you through the setup for this figure. We use propiconazole as an example here. And ABCD shows the four treatments I mentioned earlier for the material methods: fungicides only, fungicides plus irrigation, fungicides plus wetting agent, and fungicides plus irrigation and wetting agent. So the x-axis for all those figures is the days of treatment, and the y-axis is fungicide concentration expressed in micrograms per gram of sample. And then all those three components showing here is the virgin zedge 2 to 5 centimeters and then 5 to 8 centimeters. This picture really shows that the two components, I'm not sure if you can see very well here, is the two soil components, 2 to 5 and 5 to 8 centimeters. You can see it has a drastically lower concentration compared to the virgin zedge layer. As a matter of fact, the virgin zedge layer is 1 to 2 magnitude higher fungicide concentration, no matter what kind of management practice you applied. If someone were there early on in the talk in the morning. So it's quite fascinating because it's opposite or it's different from what the presenter in the morning found out in the lab from NC State. So other fungicides we investigated had a very similar trend with this, but due to time constraint, I'm not going to show the other fungicide distribution for the temporal and the spatial. And instead, if you remember, the objective for our research is try to compare all these four treatments that we set up. So the setup for this figure, the ABCD, is the four fungicides we investigated, showing on the right-hand corner. And then those bars show the four treatments that we set up. The control means the fungicides only, and then the irrigation, the wetting agent, and then the irrigation plus wetting agent. So for all these four fungicides, we did not see a measurable effect of either irrigation or wetting agent or the combination. So this is also very different from what was conducted at NC State this morning, as you see the talk, if you went to the talk in the lab. So you see the field research is so different from what you would expect in the greenhouse or in the lab. This figure has very similar setup with the last one. The only difference is it shows the 2 to 5 centimeters component other than the virtual edge. But it tells a very similar story that the 2 to 5 centimeter component doesn't significantly impacted by these four different treatments that we applied. The last figure shows the 5 to 8 centimeters. It also tells the same story, that treatment we set up did not significantly impact the fungicide distribution in 5 to 8 centimeters. However, interestingly, if you notice the y-axis on all those figures, this is 0.5, and then the last one, if I can get it, I don't think I can get it, come back to the last one, is the, it was 1, I think it went, okay, how to come back, I figured out, the right key. So next time you guys come here, it's opposite from you would expect, you click the right key to come back. So it's funny. So if you just come back to look at here, 2 to 5 centimeters, you see that y-axis is actually is 1 micrograms AI per gram. And then if you come back, right key, and you see is the y-axis is 10. So from virtual edge, like so, y-axis is 10 to 1 in 2 to 5 centimeters to 0.5 in 5 to 8 centimeters. So you see a decreasing trend of the fungicides. However, the treatment doesn't really impact how much it is in that component or in that depth. So just to using table to back up what we're showing in the figure, this shows the significance of treatment. For all these four fungicides and these four treatments. So you see, you only see like a few asterisks here shows the significant difference when we just do a simple comparison. But if we use a do not comparison, like set the control as the control statistically, we see like no significance at all. So for our research, we conclude that the virtual edge has concentration 1 to 2 magnitude higher than the other two soil components, and the majority of fungicides captured by the virtual edge. And secondly, there's no measurable effect of a wetting agent or irrigation on distribution of fungicides. So when superintendent thinking you can water it in, if they talk to you in the future, maybe you can refer them to this research. And for future research, I think we can determine the relation among fungicide distribution, bioavailability, and disease control, since in our research, we mostly investigated the fungicide distribution. This research was also contributed by Jacob Walsh, Trevor Stacey, Priya Maria, Glenn Hedbeck, and Emma Janarsh. So I want to thank them. And I also really want to thank you, audience, for coming here and for listening to my presentation. I will take any questions if I still have a minute.
Yep.
Yes, please.
What is the amount of organic matter? Can you mention the amount of organic matter in the top? And I guess would be 0 to 2 centimeters.
You're right on spot, because I'm just emailing the staff in our department who has the carbon analyzer to analyze those, to analyze organic carbon in different level. I actually already got the data, but now I only have the total carbon data, so I want to figure out the organic carbon data for all those three layers. I think that will make the story even fuller. That's a great question and comment. Thank you. Who else? I hope you all learned something. Yes.
Looks like there's a more interaction between depth, the movement of the chemical, and the chemical active ingredient or maybe collected. In other words, when you do the top compared to soil, as you go down,
Right.
Some of the chemicals change quickly when you move faster than other chemicals. Do you have any objection?
Oh, so your question is for different fungicides, they may move in a different speed? Is that what you...
Yeah, if you look at these three figures they show, the trend along the treatment, you don't see much.
Right. Right. I think he's absolutely right. Like for our fungicides, that they show difference. But also keep in mind that in the first few slides, they are applied in different rates for the fungicides. So that's for one. For two, our goal is to really compare the treatment because that's what superintendents. This information that is really needed. Our interest was not to compare fungicides. And also our research interest and goal was not necessary to compare depth as well. I think those may most be addressed already. But the different management practice in terms of fungicide downward movement haven't been addressed. That's why we're more focused on the treatment for the management practice other than the depth or the fungicides. Did that answer your question?
So we're actually we're coming up on a break. So go ahead.
So how efficient was your extraction process? How effective was your extraction?
So for our extraction, our recovery was like 80% to 100%. However, like we also, I did not mention because we don't have enough time, we also use a petri dish for catch the fungicides that we have been sprayed. So I don't do that part of calculation to really figure out how much even we can recover from how much we sprayed as well.
See, I was just going to say we're coming up on a break. Our next presentation is not until 12:45. So if there are additional questions or questions for any of our other speakers, maybe we could take those at this time.
So you think we're back?
Put me on the spot, huh? Reiki.
Yeah, if you look at this, the B, which is a pyrophilostobin,
right.
The volume of that, it contains highest compared to other fungicide, right?
Yes.
So when you move to the next one, next slide, quickly, the amount of the pyrophilostobin is very little detection. Lower
than. That's a great question. I think the reason it happened is because those two fungicides have different KOC, so they have different binding capacity with soil organic matter. So they have different binding capacity with the veg layer or the soil layer. So that's why you're right. Like at the first one, you see actually like much higher bar and. Here is like way less even than the C. So that's a great observation. I think it's due to the difference in the fungicide properties.
Okay. Maybe should we thank you again?